In de Wet Lab in the Wild, we present at the Onzichtbaar Landschap Festival stems from the Open Wet Lab. We have Wet Waag. And so the Waag at Amsterdam is this institute that opens up new technologies and raises discussions about society and technological development and how to make new technologies fair and inclusive and also how to kind of open them up.
My name is Sabine Winters and you are listening to Future Based Podcast. Roland van Dierendonk leads the Biohack Academy of Waag. Together with his colleague Inger Legay, he will be presenting the Wet Lab in the Wild at Festival Onzichtbaar Landschap. In this laboratory, you can get a closer look at the environment of the festival. By using a microscope with samples from the direct surroundings, Wet Lab in the Wild will make visible what is not visible to the naked eye. What is a wet lab in general? That's a good start.
So a wet lab is another word for a biology lab or life science lab. Mm-hmm. And so a lab you can go into and do biology experiments.
Yeah.
Research. Mm-hmm. And the Wet Lab in the Wild we present at the Onzichtbaar Landschap Festival stems from the Open Wet Lab. We have Wet Waag. Where I've been working for the past years. So the Waag at Amsterdam is this institute that opens up new technologies and raises discussions about society and technological developments and how to make new technologies fair and inclusive and also how to kind of open them up. And one of these technologies is biotechnology. So they started this lab, I think now 7 years ago. So in mm-hmm. one of the towers of the Waag building in Amsterdam, there's this wet lab, which is open for people to use who don't have a background in the life sciences.
And what's so special about a wet lab?
Yeah, so a wet lab is a name for a bio laboratory where you work with living materials. I think traditionally you have a wet lab stand for the, because you work a lot with fluids and cells, and you have a dry lab and we have different names for different types of labs. So the Open Wet Lab is at Waag. What we take now, we take a part of this wet lab to the festival. And we call it the Wet Lab in the Wild because it will be mm-hmm. under a tent in the grass. Yeah. And we take, this time we take microscopes. Because we have all kind of open source, kind of open access instructions for people to do biology kind of low cost and do it yourself. Mm-hmm. And now we take one of these, we're going to do a microscope slides so people can go into the wild and gather their own material, and then we're going to stain these microscope slides and prepare them on glass bits so you can look at plants under the microscope.
What is the mission and the vision behind the Open Wet Lab?
Yeah, well, one of the visions of the Open Wet Lab is to open these kind of technologies or methods up so more people can be creative with them as well. Mm-hmm. And kind of come into contact with these tools. But in this case, I think it's great to see kind of the microscopic world enlarged, mm-hmm. to see the nature in a different way.
Yeah,
and I really love microscopy, so it's also kind of a challenge to that in the field and as a kind of collective work that everybody adds to.
What is a Biohack Academy?
Yeah, so the Biohack Academy is this program. It's now a 10-week course for 2 days a week where people who have no background in biology first learn kind of the basics of biology and then also how to grow their own organisms. Mm-hmm. and how to work in the lab. I kind of adhere to lab safety rules. And the second skills is more like hacking their own lab equipment, because lab equipment is in general very expensive. So we have all kind of designs you can make in the Fab Lab, which is with the laser cutters and 3D printers in the Waag to build your own, well, for example, microscopes or incubators or other devices. And thirdly, they use these things to develop their own projects stemming from their own curiosity, which vary greatly depending on the background of the people who join the academy. And then it's an international program. So we have our own participants in Amsterdam, but then we have partner labs around the world who join with our own students and kind of follow the live lectures and do their own projects.
Why is creating an open wet lab so important?
I would say there's multiple reasons. I mean, one of the reasons Waag's doing these things as well is that by doing it, you also can get a broader perspective on the technological developments. So it's important that more people have kind of an active knowledge of these topics, because they become more and more important in society in general. But the other aspect is that it's increasingly feasible to do also science outside of traditional labs, as well as kind of for the creative fields to use this science outside of the normal labs for their practices. So you see that it's more and more possible to really use this biology.
Is the Open Wet Lab focused on interdisciplinarity?
Yeah, I mean, the Open Wet Lab is inherently interdisciplinary. Mm-hmm. And it also started with bio artists working with an Edwaag. And kind of bio art as well, kind of questioning the developments in the life sciences. But nowadays, you also see a lot of kind of bio designers working in the lab who more work with new materials or with new applications of biology.
Do you share the information of Wet Lab? Is Wet Lab an open source?
But so yeah, all the materials are open source as well, so they're shared online. So there's all kind of open designs for laboratory tools and for microscopes and other things to build yourself. And that's quite cool. And other people can hack these again and kind of improve them or change them and upload that again. So it's also really based on this concept of sharing. And
what can we expect at Festival Onzichtbaar Landschap?
What we'll be doing is, so it's basically an open lab. People can come in and join the wet lab in the wild. And what we'll be doing is we have taken some microscopes and we have instructions to make your own microscope samples. And we give people a kit, kind of a little dish to go out in the wild and harvest their own materials they want to see under the microscope. They're going to make these microscope slides and see them under the microscope. And then the pictures of those will be collected, and there will be kind of a big map with all the pictures that come together during the festival.
Learning by doing and debating by making are frequently used methods in your public activities. So how is this applicable to Wet Lab in the Wild, and what can we expect?
Well, as one example, last year we gave a CRISPR workshop within a bioacademy. Mm-hmm. And CRISPR is this new biotechnology which very precisely cuts DNA in certain places where you want it to cut. And so we organized a workshop around it where we use this CRISPR kit, which we bought from the Open Discovery Institute, which is a biohacker company, the Odin in California, which we only could do up until a certain point, because then it would become illegal for us to continue, because then we would create a GMO. We were not allowed specifically.
A GMO?
Yeah, a genetically modified organism.
Yeah.
Because we would combine this bacteria with new DNA that would enter the bacteria. And that was not allowed for that specific test, or we would have to ask permissions. So we had a whole discussion around this. Well, first of all, around the broader implication of the technology, but then also around this moment where we said, are we going to do it? Are we not going to do it? So you kind of combine all kind of discussions into one through doing a workshop like that.
What happens when you combine technology and biology? And what are the implications?
Kind of with biotechnology, biology becomes, in a sense, that we can modify biology, for example, with bacteria that are CRISPRed, so that are modified, or or with the example of gene drives. You know what gene drives are?
No.
Basically, they're testing whether to release, for example, mosquitoes that are then been able to get mosquito babies that can release malaria, if I say it correctly. And they modified it such that if they release like a couple of mosquitoes, then soon the whole population will have this new gene. So the whole population won't be able to give malaria anymore. But there's huge discussions about all these kind of things because, of course, it had very big implications. And that is why we do these things at Waag as well, to be able to have these discussions, kind of steer them up.
Can you elaborate why it's so important to have these interdisciplinary collaborations and institutions like Waag and WetLab?
Whether you talk about the internet or whether you talk about biotechnology, I mean, in a sense, there's a similar thing going on, that the new developments have to be discussed. And you do see that a lot of new possibilities come into existence by having spaces like the WetLab, because people can work together with different expertise and can create new things which were not possible before, maybe. Yeah, and there's a great advantage of having kind of people from different backgrounds working together, because they always get very original takes on things, new ideas. So there's a lot of artists who use the WetLab at Waag. And one thing that's especially important, I think, at the Open WetLab is that the artists who work there mainly work with real living materials in the lab. So this way you can create you can use the artwork as a basis of speculation and discussion, but still it's always grounded in real possibilities in a way.
That sounds like an ideal combination, right?
Well, yeah, because there's so much. I mean, when you look at biotechnology, there's so much that's possible right now. So why should an artist or designer not use the real possibilities in their work?
Yeah, well, these real possibilities in biotechnology have another implication, because the question then arises, who is the creator? Is it the scientist, the artist, or maybe even the bacteria?
Well, so there's a funny discussion we had with Inger always, that at some point started asking, yeah, but if you create, for example, something with bacteria, who's then the author? Are you the creator, or are then the bacteria? And then every time there was a new presentation or discussion, she always asked the same question. It changed a bit over time, but it was always a bit about, like, you collaborate with living materials, or do you control them in a way? And so it's who's the real artist?
Yes. But that's a very interesting discussion.
Yeah, it was just an interesting discussion too. No, it's still ongoing. I mean, there were many answers to it. Some people said we see it more like you being the conductor, and then the organisms being the orchestra. Yeah. There were different metaphors used.
But if you can't decide yet who is the creator of the artwork, then who is responsible for the implications of the work?
It's a difficult question because of multiple things. Mm-hmm. But responsibility, well, there is, there are, when you work in biohack labs, there are often kind of code of conduct about what you do and what you should not do. Mm-hmm. It's also related to kind of the working environment and kind of keeping the lab safe, and which is more related to having no dangerous workplace and having safety for all. But responsibility for art and design, well, I think it's a difficult question because it's such a broad field. I mean, in some way, artists should be free to do playful things and to to research art for the sake of researching art. Anyway, it doesn't always have to have a use. It can also be interesting artistic research in its own way, or that's only later picked up to have some meaning or thing. So it's difficult to say it should be this or it should be that. But of course, there's also a whole field of more applied design. And what you see now exactly is that a lot of designers are wondering about the state we're in as a planet and the amount of waste we create and also how design in the past contributed to that in a way, the whole environmental crisis. And they often come in, or now more and more people work with kind of biological solutions or new ways of looking at waste. And that's quite interesting because they really contribute with nature to make new solutions possible.
And this is also this is also applicable to the wet lab.
Yeah, I mean they come to the wet lab. I mean the wet lab is a place where people can work, right? I think that's another dimension. Now we talk a lot about criticality, but at the other side is also great just to be
also the aesthetics, right?
Yeah, and to be surprised and to be amazed by nature, to be
I like that aspect of amazement. Is that the big motivation behind your work?
I think it's one of the things that drove me to do that, to study biology. Afterwards, I took a different path because I just wanted to do more creative research or to use new other tools. So I didn't want to be in a biology lab all the time. I didn't know if I wanted to do that. Because when you really are a biologist, you often have to follow the protocols and it becomes less about amazement in a way.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that if you go to a lab like the Open Wet Lab, a lot of people are really kind of get sucked in because of some amazement.
I like that aspect of amazement. Is that the big motivation behind your work?
Well, I'm currently looking into how biohacking and kind of doing these projects outside of or kind of in labs that are outside of academic labs or outside of research labs, how they can have a more impact in a sense of doing kind of grassroots science. So to do a research project and then kind of produce this together with multiple people and how this can be kind of made further and further.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm currently writing a plan to do to do a project about this.
So doing a science production together with other people, like a peer production?
So it's about kind of science can be co-created, so by multiple people together, but really, really bottom up, so people can come up with their own ideas and how can that become research.
So what's the most important value of these kind of peer-to-peer science research projects and maybe also the speculative art and science projects? Can you give us a concrete example?
It's a bit related to before I helped in a project, it's already 2 years ago, I think it was a project of Spela Petrić. She's a Slovenian artist that questions our relationship to plants. Specifically the human plants relationship. And she had a whole series of artworks where she which made around that question with different each time. So one time, for example, she took in one project, she took human hormones because they're super, super similar to plant hormones, which is interesting already, which shows like how over all this million years of evolution, how stable these hormones have been. So she gathered hormones from human pee, and then she put these on developing plants, and then she saw effects of these hormones on the development of the plants. Which is amazing. But the project I did, I was involved with, was called Strange Encounters, where we brought together humans and plants by bringing together plant cells and human cancer cells in a kind of little reactor where they were swimming around. And then we did it in three types of ways. We also have a microscope where people could see the cells. And we made this installation with a bioreactor where they were living together. But it was super interesting to see what kind of reactions it got from, and also to do the research ourselves, because every day we had new reflections and new visions and new ideas, and we saw crazy stuff as well. Like at one moment we saw an amoeba swimming around, which is this kind of shapeless shape-shifting cell. But because we had the cancer cells and the plant cells, like for 5 minutes we were convinced this was a cancer cell. We thought, no, this habits in your body, and we were but then we realized it's an amoeba, so it was something completely wrong. And the other thing we saw is we saw a big cell which ate algae cell. So there was an algae inside of the cell. We thought, huh, we created a hybrid. And
but he ate it. It ate it.
And then it turned out that happens more often that day.
And the we, was that a team of artists and scientists working together?
So we were.
So this project was called Strange Encounters. Can art be a catalyst for these strange encounters between science and art?
Yeah. Sometimes it definitely can. And also strange encounters with new ideas, I think. I mean, just like one of the earliest bio artists from, he's called Joe Davis. He lives in Boston, and he always has a lot of tons of ideas. He's like an idea machine. And he also really believes in this kind of creativity, and that more people should be creative like this. But for example, one thing he did is storing information in DNA, and storing images in DNA and text in DNA. And now that really is becoming a major field in science, because they realize they can store information in DNA, and maybe it will be stored there for a longer time than when you store it on your hard disk. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole field now, DNA data storage. That's just one of an example where you show like the artist knocking at the doors of the scientist.
So we can say art creates room for these new ideas and futures, and science provides the tools. And maybe the two disciplines are also creating amazement at each other.
And art's also, I think, possible to look at it more from kind of an interdisciplinary broad view, and kind of also to switch very quickly between views and to create like a broader picture that is maybe less detailed but more about what has more to do with us in the end, whereas science is often very zoomed in on a specific, this kind of art science project specifically can you see scientists being amazed and starting to make art, and artists being amazed by science.
Do you think we can expect more these interdisciplinary projects in the future?
Well, it's already happening. I mean, it's not the future. It's it's now. Yeah, that's my opinion. And but I'm also quite curious about that also people who are not designers or just interested in, well, for example, in microscopy. Because microscopy used to be a hobby for many people as kind of a side project. There were real citizen scientists who are just citizens doing microscopy in like the 19th century and the 18th century. Mm-hmm. And they were sharing protocols and sharing images and drawings and kind of this and wonderment of these micro worlds. And now maybe we could see a revival of that. That would be great.
Yes, I'm also really hoping we can see a revival of this investigation by microscopes and scientific tools, but then in your own garden and your own home. Because I was visiting the Boerhaven Museum. It's a museum in Leiden in the Netherlands, and it's a scientific museum, and they had so many different microscopes and so many different telescopes also. And I thought, I have to order one. I have to get into my garden and get into my home and research this microscopic world.
You could also build it yourself. I mean, that's one of the things about the biohacking as well, is that the Biohack Academy is that by making your own tools, you also understand better how they work. And now we have, for example, one with lenses, but also a webcam microscope, which you make like a cheap €8 webcam. You made the microscope.
Okay.
And that's super fun. I also did a workshop with that, and it takes like, I don't know, 2 hours and then the whole audience has a microscope.
Yeah, so if you're interested in science and in science and art, it doesn't have to be very expensive to get started. And if you want to get started right away, the 28th of June till the 1st of July 2019 here in the Netherlands, there will be Festival Onzichtbaar Landschap and Wetlab in the Wild with Roland van Dierendonk and Inger Le Gay will be there, and the Wetlab will be a display. For more information about the scientist, about the artist or projects mentioned, please visit futurebase.org. I will make sure there's every bit of information you need. And Roland, thank you very much, and looking forward to the exhibition at the festival.
Yeah, thank you for the podcast. I'm also looking forward to seeing you there and to seeing everybody at Wetlab in the Wild.